By the way, how many of you adults feel left out this morning? You know, I was watching the children come in with baseball bats, gumball machines, radios. You know, I really felt left out this morning. I think I'm going to children's department next week instead of senior adults. You know, I'd like for you to do something this morning that we don't emphasize enough here sometimes, I think. But I'd like for you to look in the pew in front of you or pick up your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's been a Bible provided in every pew hole there is a Bible. Pick it up. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, and if you don't know where it's at, it's in the Old Testament, in the front part of the book. If you find Esther or you find Ezra, Nehemiah fits in between. You know, he came in, you know, you can always say Nehemiah came between Esther, became Ezra and Esther. You know, he kind of got between the two of them. But you know, when I was a child growing up, I was probably four or five years old. I had a Sunday school teacher tell me that Nehemiah got his name because he was the shortest man in the Bible. And I asked him, I said, you know, how do you figure that? He said, Nehemiah. Oh, well, that was a bad one. Nehemiah. But this morning, I want us to learn the truth about him. If you will take your Bible and open to the first chapter. Now, I want to tell you one thing. The message that I have today is for everyone. It concerns your personal commitment to God, your church during the year, during the days that lie ahead. And I want to say one other thing just in passing. Pastor Dan mentioned that Pastor Rob is gone for 4 months. That doesn't mean that you get a four-month vacation. You should work harder now than you have ever worked before to make this church grow. Because it's so important. Now, Nehemiah 1, verse 2. Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates are burned with fire. May we pray. Father, we ask that you bless this word, that you bless our hearts today as we study about this man, Nehemiah, and how he applies to us. It's in your name, Lord, we pray. Now, I want you to understand, Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king. He was the man that had to taste the drink before it was given to the king. You know, one of the ways you got rid of a king in those days, you put a little bit of poison in the cup. Well, if anybody drank it and he died, it wouldn't be the king. It'd be Nehemiah. So he had that responsibility of protecting the king. That's how important he was. He was a brave man, a servant of the king. But when he heard what had happened to Jerusalem, how its gates were broken down, how the wall was tumbled down. You know, I only think of how it was at the time of Jericho, how when they marched around the city and they blew the trumpet and the walls came tumbling down. That must have been what it was like at Jerusalem, God's holy city. This brave man, this type of concern that we need to have if our church, First Baptist Church of Galt, is to reach out to our community. We must shed tears of concern. Too many times we have a tendency to say, well, we're here, we're just waiting on them. Well, that's not what it's about. It's action. Do you realize that the population of Gulf has quadrupled in the past few years? Quadruple means it's gone four times bigger. Everywhere you look, there is new homes and more being built. Everywhere you look, the houses are beautiful. But the people in Jerusalem were living with skin stretched over the fallen down wall and living like cave dwellers, if you will. The need of the Lord was there to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the city. The need of the Lord is still here today to reach out to the city of Galt that is lost and win the city of Galt for Jesus Christ. Why is our church not quadrupled? The city has. I think that we have lost sight of the vision. We've lost sight of the vision of reaching out and touching other people. Nehemiah's concern was so great, he spent 4 months, now listen to this, he spent 4 months in prayer, fasting, and planning. How far is your concern? When those gold aluminum plates are passed, does your concern equal a dollar in the collection plate? Do you remember to pray for your church? Do you remember to pray for your leaders? Are you faithful in your attendance? I want to ask you a question. You know, we have now 40 families. If you average that out, that comes to about 110 people, 120, that we send emails out and we send prayer requests out. Who can tell me what the praise request, other than Beverly, who can tell me what the praise request, or the praise was that I sent out on Friday? What was it? Roger Williams. Anybody else remember that? We sent it out because Roger Williams had very serious cancer. It deformed the whole side of his face. They had to lay back his whole face and take the cancer out. And they had laid him on a table now, and they call it a PET test, and runs all through the body, and they found no sign of cancer. Praise God. We should be looking at these praises and our prayers. We should be holding these people up. I'm afraid too many of us look at that prayer request and click the button. That was nice. Somebody needs to be prayed for. Finally, it came time for Nehemiah to go before the king. Read with me, if you will, Nehemiah 2, 1 through 3. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in this 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? There is nothing but sorrow in the heart." So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?" How many of you and people of Galt look at and see that you're sad that they're lost? It was visible to the king. The world needs to know that we're concerned about them. You realize that here at First Baptist Church, we are very concerned about the world. Our motto is, "From Galt to the ends of the earth." I say to you, we have been to Liberia, Estonia, Nigeria, South Africa. Miss Parlee now is in Macedonia. And also we have a baby's nursery we take care of in the senior class in Uganda. We're looking out for the world. I think it's wonderful. Do you realize how many churches there are that have never been on a mission trip? Do you realize how many churches there are that have never sponsored an orphan. I think it's wonderful that we do these things. But the question must be asked, do we care as much for the neighbor that lives next door to us as the child in Uganda? You know, Jim Fugate, I like to talk about him because he's not here. He called me up and he said, "Do you have a map to the church?" And I said, "Yes," I sent him a map. Then he found a better map than the one I had. And he run this map off on his computer and printed up copies of it. And he printed up invitations to be here at church. And he attached them for a special purpose. And he went from one end of the street to the other. Then he got to thinking, if I turn the corner, I can go down that street. He went two blocks that way, crossed over, came two blocks back. Then he started walking home, he said. And I noticed there was a street. If you've been to Jim's house, kind of goes off around the corner. Jim says, "I wonder who lives over there." Went back home and printed up a few more. We had several of those people here. We had one family that lives next door to Jim here last Sunday. You see, what it takes inviting people. It takes being concerned about them. I won't say any more about that for now. Nehemiah 2, 4 through 9. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I replied, I prayed to the God of heaven. Now you notice he doesn't answer the king right away. The first thing that he does is he prays. He prays, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it." Then the king said to me, with the queen sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timbers to make beams for the gate of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy." And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governor in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now I want you to listen to this last sentence. Now the king had sent captains of the army and the horsemen with me. The king was moved by Nehemiah's concern. Do you know something? When we get concerned, if we as a church get concerned about Galt, God is going to give us the tools to reach Galt. But we have to get concerned first. If we don't get concerned, then nothing is going to happen. Do you know something? Many times we feel defeated because we try something and it doesn't work. But generally when we try it, we're trying it by self, not by God. I think it is so important. Nehemiah asked and received what was needed for the job. He received an overabundance of what he needed. Nehemiah asked for letters so he could cross the borders of other cities, other states that the king was over. No big deal. The king sat down and wrote them, put a seal on it, and one of those leaders dared not go against the king. So he had a way to go. But yet, the king did something else. The king said, "I'm sending my captains of the army, and I'm sending my horse soldiers with you." What that means, folks, is I'm sending the generals of the army, and I'm sending the best cavalry in all of the countries with you. You've got the prime portion of my army going with you. They're going to protect you in your travel. Now, the army left them when they got to Judah and went home.